So I ask that you just be a bit patient with me tonight with the homily. This morning, as I said, Brother Paul Nixon died. So we've lost a very dear brother of the MGLs and a very dear member of this parish community. And there's a lot of us who are feeling very emotionally raw, I think, having gone through this journey with him. But it's beautifully appropriate that the readings today are the story of the Good Samaritan. So I think there's no better way to understand the life of Paul than through this reading, or to understand this reading than through the life of Paul Nixon. The thing about this story is very simple, that three men walk past a man who's been beaten up, injured. The first two, for whatever reason, don't see him. Whether consciously or unconsciously, they turn a blind eye, they keep walking. The Samaritan is the one who sees him. And the fact that he's a Samaritan is the key point, that the Samaritans were despised, they were hated, they were the outcasts due to history that went back hundreds of years. But that's the reason why the Samaritan saw the injured man. That as the Samaritan walked past and saw this man rejected and beaten and abused, it's as though he saw himself coming from a race that had been rejected and abused and beaten and cast out. And that's why he connected. It wasn't because it was a good deed or because he was trying to rack up points for heaven or because he thought he should. It was because there was this true empathy that he saw himself and he saw the need and he just loved. You know, the story says nothing here about the fact that the Samaritan was a doctor or had a first aid certificate or, you know, he was qualified in dealing with beaten up men. He just did what he had to do, did what was in front of him, put his hand in his pocket, tried his best. And that was it. That's all he had to do. Where others would have walked past thinking maybe we'll keep walking and raise money for a men's shelter somewhere. Maybe we'll start a program to stop this sort of thing happening. The Samaritan just did what was in front of him. As I said, I think the best way to understand this, I think, is if we look at Brother Paul. Paul, by his own profession, was a very simple man. You know, 60 years old, for the last 20 years, he wore brown and white in the MGLs. Prior to that, by his own admission, he said he did nothing other than mow lawns. You know, he had no great education, no great skills. Very often he felt inadequate within the MGLs because he didn't have great preaching ability or music ability or whatever. And he saw all the other brothers going off and doing great conferences and preaching everywhere. And he just said, oh, I'm just a simple man. But what he had was an amazing heart of love. You know, we often say in the MGLs, or at least in the formation, that the two things we look for in a man are that he knows his brokenness and that he has absolute confidence in Jesus as a saviour. That Jesus can make up for all of his own weakness if he has complete trust in him. And there is never anyone more true than Paul with that. You know, a man who, as I said, didn't think highly of himself at all and yet did astounding things. Ministered in Papua New Guinea in extremely difficult circumstances. Did amazing ministry around Darwin in the indigenous communities. Working with men in the prison, men who are completely on the margins of society, and then particularly around here in the last few years. Paul stands very much in that position of the Samaritan, in that he didn't minister to people because it was a good thing to do, or because it was what he was meant to do. But from my experience of working alongside him, it was because he counted himself as being one of them. And when he worked with those men particularly, he had such a great heart for men's ministry. It was because he saw his own brokenness and his own weakness, and he had the ability of standing with them as an equal. Not like this story, like the priest or the Levite who were looking down from on high with all the skills and profession. Paul was able to stand there with people and say, I'm as messed up as you are. And that was, strangely, his greatest skill. Yeah, for those who have journeyed with Paul the last probably 10 years or so, since about 2006, Paul started to suffer or display signs of mental illness. And this gradually developed into a fairly serious cross for him, struggling very much with anxiety and often, very often, being in a very dark place and very much doubting his own place before God, really struggling with scruples. And yet the amazing irony of this is that that period of his life is almost the most powerful period of his ministry. That at the very point when it seemed like mentally he was falling apart, his love kept going. And so often we saw this irony that at the very time he'd be doubting his own faith, he'd be bringing other people to the Lord. And he'd come to us saying, I can't pray, I don't know where God is. And yet his bag would be full of Bibles that he would be going out every day to go and give to people and bring people back to Jesus. Yeah, I remember this one day here where, after a particularly bad day, he was kind of wandering aimlessly around the streets here in Narrabundah. And a woman was concerned for him and just picked him up, brought him into her house, trying to care for him, and eventually brought him back to our place here. And yet in the midst of that, he brought her back to church. Yeah, and I think this speaks to us something so powerfully of what it actually is to be human and what it is to be real. That God works through our weakness in ways that we can't understand. He's able to work through our brokenness and our sin as long as we have a heart of love, as long as we have a passion for Christ. If we know our brokenness, but we know that Jesus is the Saviour, that he's the one who carries us through. And this is what Paul did time and again. When he would almost be at the point of despair, thinking that he was so weak and he couldn't go on, and yet the thing that shone through to everyone around him was his unbelievable trust in Christ as the Saviour. And so there are countless people who have been brought back to the Lord through him. But so often, as I said, it was that he met the person who was in front of him. He didn't get caught up in planning or programming or the big concerns of the world. All he was worried about was who was in front of him and how can he love them. And even up to his final moments, just last week, I took one of the brothers up to the hospital, one of the guys who just joined us recently, and Paul hadn't had a chance to meet him. And at this point, Paul had lost the ability to speak, and he couldn't eat, and he was struggling to breathe. And yet as soon as this first year brother came into the room, and Paul realized, I don't know you. And straight away he grabbed the notepad and started asking questions. Who are you? Where are you from? Tell me about your family. Tell me everything about you. Now, this guy had every reason to be focused on himself, and yet he was just loving. His constant thing was wanting to meet the person in front of him. That's what the Samaritan did. That's what Jesus was trying to get to us. Just focus on who's in front of you. Just love them where they're at. Love them where you're at. We don't have to worry about the result. We don't have to worry about what comes tomorrow. Just love the person who's in front of you, and God will do the rest. So it's very fitting we do celebrate Paul. You know, I think every one of us who comes to this Mass has been witnessed by him. Whether you've directly been brought into the church through him, or just his witness of sitting at the front row here every week praying. I think in sitting with Paul, I think the one thing we need is to have something of his passion. If we can have something of his zeal for Christ. There are some weeks back, before he started to really deteriorate, once again I was sitting in the hospital with him, and there was a friend of ours was there, and she asked him, "Paul, do you want us to pray for healing?" And straight away he kind of clenched his fists and he just said, "Please pray, because I want to get back out on mission. I haven't finished yet. I want to tell people." So let's pray we have something of that.